Welcome to the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs, bringing you from 0 to 60 in the non-fungible token world without breaking the bank, with your hosts Andrew, aka Rantom, and George from Mostly Stable on Zedrun, who will help you navigate new projects, interview expert guests, and explore NFT trends. So whether you're on your first or 50th NFT, we're going to have something for you. And as a quick note, we are not, I repeat, not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Alrighty, disclaimer over, let's get to it. Today on All About Affordable NFTs, well, we're talking about how many wallets do you have? Not what's in your wallet, but how many wallets? Andrew, what are you seeing in the news?
Oh man, I thought you were just putting me on the spot right away here. We just had ETH Denver. That was a big conference. We didn't get a chance to get out there, but it's been a long-running conference, and we have read and heard a bit about it, and sounds like it was well attended, a lot more people than had been there in the past.
15,000 was the number?
Yeah, maybe 5,000 or so. It was, I believe it was about triple. So that's good to see, I think. And a lot of Vitalik Buterin, one of the ETH founders, like kind of the face of ETH, Ethereum, a lot of sightings of him around. Sounds like it went well.
Actually, what have you heard about? Take a step back. I'm curious. Why the heck would this matter for NFTs? Why the heck does the current Ethereum, like for somebody who doesn't quite get it, you're like, I don't get it. I thought that's the currency. What the hell does a conference about Ethereum matter for, you know, at all for NFTs?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I think, you know, we're all, you know, all NFTs in some way. I shouldn't say all NFTs, but most NFTs, at least that we talk about here, are on the Ethereum network. And it's kind of just a related part that doesn't go away. I think what's interesting about this conference is that it definitely had more visibility and more people there, I think in part because of NFTs. And there was a lot more, from what I've heard, a lot more NFT related content and people there than in the past, where it was much more maybe DeFi or developer focused. And there was still that part as well, but NFTs certainly making more of a name for themselves at the conference now.
In a simple way that I think about it is, if the platform on top of which you have built your, you know, thing you're collecting or where you transact, if it has a healthy, robust community of developers and investors and a conference of this thriving and growing scale, you're probably operating in the right place. And so the health of Ethereum translates to the health of smart contracts, security, and developers and future development for the platform on top of which I'll say a lot of my transactions currently go through. So that's like my, I guess, quick. I'm like, all right, keep an eye on it. I mean, I feel like it'd be cool to go, although I don't know. I feel like I'd just be socially awkward around a lot of people that are probably socially awkward, but maybe that's not fair. It seems like a good party.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, you know, who knows? I'm sure it was a good time and with that many people, I'm sure there's all sorts of events. So what else do we have here?
Premier League. We have talked about sort of these sports getting into it, but the Premier League, those of you not aware, the soccer ball is having an NFT license auction, and it's nearing 600 million. They have got some really, really cool looking Premier League NFTs, and they have players there just, you know, kind of in the collectible game. And so big onboarding, big, I don't know. It's just a big market to enter in. So I look at all of these as onboarding for sports.
Yeah, I think that is cool. I did notice that there was some potential issues that they're running into with legality and around how So Rare may need to at least register as a betting house as opposed to just this collectible. But, you know, I think we're going to see those issues come up more and more. And I have a feeling they're going to figure something out because look at those numbers, 600 million. People aren't going to ignore that. And someone just wants another piece of that somewhere along the line, I think.
Yeah, it looks like the UK Gambling Commission has questions, has notes maybe, potential taxes. But to put it into perspective, the Premier League has an incredible global popularity, roughly 7 billion in media deals. So like it is sizable. And so that's why it's interesting. And this is built on, I believe, Ethereum, the Ethereum-based game that they're rolling with. So again, why it matters, more people, more onto Ethereum. And I'm not gonna be wading into those waters. I just, I don't know. I mean, go Swansies, but that's all I got for you.
Yeah, I can't speak a whole lot about it, but you know, I was excited about a big event this week in the auction world. There was supposed to be a big Sotheby's auction with 104 CryptoPunks. Someone had bought these in one transaction at one point, and then was going to sell them all, and then claimed that they at the last minute they withdrew them and claimed that they rugged Sotheby's by doing this. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe they rugged themselves here, but it seems like that maybe the price or the market wasn't quite what they anticipated when they agreed to do this, and you know, had second thoughts about selling at this point.
Sure, rugged them, excused them. The market's not doing well. Yeah, I don't know.
It's not a great look for NFTs, I think, for something like that to happen. They had talked about it being, I think, in the $20 to $30 million range. I had seen talk on some of the NFT Twitter that, you know, they were talking about more like 15 or under, some heavy bets coming in there. So, you know, I think the market was definitely softer than maybe anticipated, and, you know, we'll see what happens now, but that's, I don't know if it's a great look for NFTs. So anyway, one more news item I wanted to mention here while we were talking about Denver, bring it back there. There is a DAO being set up that is trying to buy the Denver Broncos, the football team, the NFL football team. Of course, got to make sure we get our sports right here. But this is, it's not actually that outlandish of an idea if you consider that the Green Bay Packers have been.
No, the Green Bay Packers, how are they not the first ones to do this? Come on.
Well, it's, I mean, they've essentially done this. They just did it before anyone was calling it a DAO. It's a group that, it's a group of people that own it. You know, it's, they don't really get all that much say over what happens. There's a front office management that runs things. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good model to look at. And it's a good way to consider this, this how this could really end up happening. You know, we'll see if it happens, but we have seen some big, big money come together quickly for DAOs. So it wouldn't shock me if they get a serious amount of money together and can put at least some sort of bid out there.
I mean, if you look at the Constitution DAO, there's a lot of money, and I think there's a lot more where this is going to happen, and of fans to have actual ownership and coins and associated with it. Like, it's not a question of if, but when. What you see the mega wealthy previously only able to do, now you can have a collection of people operate at that level, which weirdly will only drive the value of these things even farther beyond what is even, I don't know, comprehensible to me.
Yeah, absolutely, I think.
All right. We have kind of like a repeat appearance of an affordable project, which is the Red Village. The Red Village is a game. It's based on Polygon. It is these, they call them champions, that will eventually be able to fight each other in an actual environment while you're going to submit it. And it's kind of like a cross between, you know, I don't know, a battling game and Zed, where you're going to drop in an NFT asset that you in fact own, and it's a play and earn, which is more of a, we won't, yeah, whatever, it's gambling. We'll get a win if you are in the top, if you are still living. But the reason we bring it up is because this game is actually, knock on wood, going to launch, according to developers, after being delayed at the end of February. So if you are listening to this, it is hopefully probably live. But the point is that there are, in fact, champions, Genesis champions, that are available for sale. And there's an opportunity, potentially, because the floor on these is at 0.1, call it 0.12, for Genesis champions. The higher the number, the higher the cost, roughly. Not too much is known about how they're eventually going to perform because they haven't gotten a chance to battle. But if you were to, say, roll back the clock in the Zed run days 3 years ago and able to grab some of those Genesis horses, even through the downturn for Zed, which, by the way, is coming back a little bit, those Genesis assets have really appreciated from where the drop price is. And I think this Red Village champion market is a little soft right now because the game just got delayed. And there are people that are like, oh, I don't know what it's going to be like. So the other upside is it'll give you a chance to learn a little bit about Polygon and transacting there, which is gas free. So that number is actually that number.
Yeah, I think it's still one to look at, you know, hoping that there are no more delays in this game, and at least they have something coming out. But, you know, I am excited for what they've got going, and it does seem like they do have a real development plan here. And, you know, even the delays, I'm not terribly concerned about the fact that they are working on this and aren't going to abandon the project anytime soon.
Yeah, and I'll just be clear, what you're looking for is the genotype, and you can kind of do your own research between R1, which go for one Ethereum, and then R6s, which are down at that affordable level. And so, full disclosure, both of us have these champions. We haven't fought them. We have no clue really what they can or can't do. But they're really good looking art, I will say that. They definitely put in a lot of time.
You got a pretty good idea that mine's going to be pretty premier. Yeah, look out.
I guess we could fight each other and find out. throw it in the ring. I will say that the community does a phenomenal job in creating content and answering questions and seems to be headed in the right direction. So that's why we keep bringing it up. But it was interesting. Before this, Andrew and I were, we've been a little slower to find new projects recently. We're kind of really waiting and seeing a lot of things in the market. So we're trying to be conscious of what we're throwing darts at. All right. Theme discussion. Here we go. So, like I said, Andrew, how many wallets do you have?
Theme. Yeah, that's a good question. So, I've got a handful, and I've used.
I actually don't know the answer to this. Hold on. I would put the over under at 4.
You know, I'd say it's 3 primarily. I've used a couple others more as kind of burner wallets that I don't intend to keep. Did that a couple times when I was doing something on my mobile device and going in person and just to reduce any risk. So I don't use those anymore, but I do still have access to them. So I do check them just on specific airdrops just in case. But basically I have 2 that I use for most of my NFTs and then another wallet for most of my DeFi activity. But those get a little mixed up, and I use some of those wallets multiple times for things especially if I'm being wary of trying to hit maybe airdrop goals or something like that, or, you know, qualifications. So yeah, I'd say it's 3 primarily.
There we go. So the over under. What do you define as a wallet?
Well, that's a good question. That's part of what I was kind of getting at. You know, so I've got different wallets. I've got 3 that I use. I've got one that doesn't get used much at all because it's a hardware wallet. I haven't transferred a ton of things to that yet, to a new hardware wallet that I have. Go back and forth between the different hardware wallet types. I don't know if, I guess we haven't really talked about those much on here, have we?
No. So when you have a hardware wallet, it essentially means that think of it as like a USB, I guess, that you like, hey, here it is. Here are my assets. And they live on this separate little device. And what happens if that device gets smooshed? I'll put it in a different understanding.
Right. So with these devices, you can set up so that you need to have a code to be able to use it at all. Your wallet will be loaded on there essentially already, but you'll have to have a code that's that will enable access to this. Once you set it up in your computer, you just plug it in, enable access to it, then you can use it essentially just like a regular MetaMask wallet. But it does have, well, there's a couple things you can do. One, you can add another, a wallet inside that wallet that is only accessible if you have both the key. I'm sorry, the, yeah, you'd have to have the key and the passcode, which is an added security. You know, you may want another, another device in that case. Otherwise, you can always get into, you could always access your wallet if you just have the passphrase. You could always take that from your, even from the USB key, if you wanted to access that somewhere else, you could just type that into the computer. The idea is with these hardware wallets is that you're never putting it into your computer because, you know, as we know, there's just so many ways that your computer or any network could be hacked. And, you know, we're seeing more and more hacks all the time. And it's, you know, it's one thing to say that you're being safe and doing everything right. But, you know, it's tough to know all of the potential risks that are out there to, you know, to access your wallet.
I think it's important, and I have a metaphor here, that you understand why just one isn't probably the right way to go. As you're starting your collection, you start small, of course, and you build up over time. But then you start learning. And frankly, the only way to learn is to connect your wallet to stuff, to run around and do operations. I'm going to flip this around, though, and say, like, take out your wallet right now. Think about your actual physical wallet or your purse, like whatever you carry your quote assets, your maybe cash, credit cards, your ID. Now I want you to expand your thinking of ownership. Do you have stocks, equities, 401k? Do you have the deed to your house somewhere? Do you have a marriage license? Would you put all of those things into that one wallet that you have in your pocket that you're going to wander off to the bar or wander off to a conference where a lot of other people are maybe wandering around? And what happens if somebody picks your pocket if you're traveling abroad? So this is kind of the thinking that it's, I think it holds water in that you really have to be careful. And you're like, oh, it's not safe to do this in one wallet. Why is it safe in two? It's just you have different behaviors with it. You go to different places. You connect to different things. I actually kind of don't get it. When I hear about like these Bored Apes being like stolen out of people's wallets, I'm like, at a certain point, if you have $1 million freaking asset, don't run around the internet with that wallet connecting to things, making handshakes with different contracts. I mean, it's the same as like literally holding like your entire 401k or your assets that are equities in something that can be taken with a single hack. So thank you for walking us through your wallets. I mean, where do you think my metaphor holds up or doesn't?
No, I think that's a great, metaphor. You don't want to, I mean, why would you walk around with all your assets just because these are digital assets? Having one wallet is a terrible idea. And, you know, unfortunately things do go wrong still. And, you know, I was talking to someone earlier this week who's, you know, very savvy, in the NFT and, crypto space. And, you know, he actually was telling me how he fell for a scam recently. And, you know, he was somewhat embarrassed to say it, but, you know, it's actually great to hear because it just reminds you how really anyone can be susceptible to, you know, to hacks, to scams, to so many things out there. You know, there's so many ways, and it's better to just reduce your risk. You know, there's, if you don't have everything in one wallet, it can't all go at one time. And I think that's, you know, we can, I don't know, there's so many different ways to keep these things. A lot of people think about, you know, things that they'll keep for a longer time or maybe just, you know, are more valuable. They'll put into hardware wallets or cold, I don't know if they call it kind of cold storage, where these aren't wallets that are connecting to any sites. It's really just for storage. The only thing that they probably access it with is maybe their, you know, their MetaMask, or maybe even, you know, just a hard, there's different hardware devices that I've been reading about. Lattice is one that has more of an interface on it. So there's other ways that you can do this to keep those more valuable assets completely away from any site at all. And I think that's a really smart way to go about how you keep your digital assets. It's certainly, you know, you wouldn't keep, you know, you don't even keep all your assets usually in, you know, accessible in your checking account. If you have a lot, you know, you want to spread these out, and, you know, there's many reasons for this, but, you know, one is to reduce risk, and it's a way, you know, it is a smart thing to start thinking about if you are spending much time, have valuable assets, spending time connecting to different sites, you know, have a wallet that you're okay connecting to and almost has empty, you know, if you can just use it and then move things in and out, if you're trying something that maybe you don't know a whole lot about quite yet, or, and I don't know, maybe you do and just want to be even extra safe. We do see some hacks sometimes of some pretty reputable, protocols and apps out there. And, you know, I don't think that we've even seen the biggest that's going to happen yet.
That's a scary thought. How do you create a new wallet?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, MetaMask actually makes it really easy to create wallets directly in their interface. You can also, you know, may even be worth trying some other apps out. My Ether wallet is one that I've used in the past. Rainbow is one that a lot of people are talking about now. They have a very user-friendly, I believe they have both an Apple and a Android app. I know they have an Apple one. They're doing a lot with displaying the NFT, so it may be worth trying out different apps that maybe could add security in different ways. MetaMask does make it really easy to add another wallet though, right in the wallet interface.
Yeah, I'd say that's where I probably created mine. I think, you know, I only have two, but I've been thinking recently of like, oh, do I need a third or moving stuff around? But it's also tough because my most valuable asset is one that I have to play with in a game, which is in the active wallet. So there's a weird trade-off there.
Yeah, it's actually just realizing it's maybe a good time to move some things around. Gas has been relatively pretty low lately. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like it's down in the 40s. So maybe actually a good time to move some things around if you do have valuable assets that want to put in a cold wallet or set up something new that has less access. It costs a whole lot less right now.
Oh, that's a good point. Good thing to do. I put that on my list of things to do when gas is low. There's like list of projects that.
Of course, when you're listening to this, I don't know. Who knows? Sorry if I'm just annoying you by talking about low gas and it's not out there anymore.
Well, brilliant. I think that sums it up from what I was hoping to cover. Anything else to add in?
No, I think that's it.
All righty. Well then, take care. Keep those wallets safe. This has been an episode of the AAA NFT Podcast, all about affordable NFTs. The episode notes and resources may be found at 3ANFT.com. In our show notes, again, 3ANFT.com. And that reminder, don't bet what you can't afford to lose. Remember, we are not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Thanks for joining us. I hope you learned something.